I'll tell you, the news doesn't get any crazier than when we heard last the other night. And here to discuss, Jesse Garcia. Sir, always great to have you.
Hi, Jay. It's a pleasure to be here.
I'll tell you, that rocked my world when I found out regarding Dr. William Spencer there, legislator, 18th District. And all that was involved, your reaction, I'll tell you, does it get worse than that, Jesse?
It's a shock to everyone I've been around with and who knows politics and knows the individuals involved. And first and foremost, my prayers go out to the victims and the family and Doc Spencer's family. And I truly hope that he gets and receives the assistance he needs to deal with these demons. Unfortunately, this is a very sad and, a betrayal of the public's trust. This is a victimization of, those suffering with addictions, women. It's not something that we need in our society. And I think that we, collectively speaking to our leaders, our own constituencies, committee people, and even elected officials. We called on legislator Doc Spencer to resign yesterday morning, and it's the best thing. It's not for the institution of the legislature, but it's best for him and his family so he can focus on the issues he's unfortunately dealing with right now.
And I think the most egregious part of it is, listen, he's been a legislator forever in the 18th. We know. He is a very well-respected physician, his own practice in Huntington. Part of the egregious nature of this all is, just to reiterate to the audience, that he was on a panel of the county's heroin and opiate epidemic advisory panel. And that's what makes this thing so crazy, because he's carrying Oxy pills and everything else. If it's true, again, these are allegations, folks. He was arraigned yesterday, did plead not guilty, but... an individual who's leading the way, and we know how the county has suffered regarding addiction, and that's what makes this thing so hard to take in, And again, we got to see how it plays out, but a guy who was on the panel leading the way to help the county alleviate itself of an addiction of this nature, and here he is carrying pills for trade. It's unreal. Tough one. Really
is. It is unreal, and I think that for so many families in Suffolk County, New York, and throughout the country dealing with this opiate crisis, which has gotten lost in this, discussion on a national level, something that our president, Donald Trump, has championed and has addressed and really gone after to address through enforcement and assistance through medical teams. That's why we called in part for legislator Doc Spencer to resign, because there's obviously some questions and some confusion in the voters and in the residents of Suffolk County that someone who championed, so much on terms of legislation was now using those very same opiates for illegal activity and illegal transactions. And God knows, what the results will be in this. That's why it's important for the institution of the Suffolk County Legislature. It's important for the government of Suffolk County. It's important for the constituents of Suffolk County, and for, Legislator Spencer's family as well, for him to resign, focus on his issues, and then the legislature and Suffolk County can ensure and bring back confidence in the programs and in the initiatives that we or they have been championing and moving forward to address this epidemic of enormous measures, which is that of the opiates.
And I think it sends a message that way. And if not for a resignation on his own situation with his own self, at least there should be some sort of a suspension. The presiding officer, Rob Colarco, should somehow formulate a plan to at least suspend Spencer until, everything is kind of seen in an open light in the court of law and everything else. But I think certainly, and listen, he was suspended by Huntington Hospital, where he had admitting privileges, chief of the department. He knows the throat, and that's what the legislature should do. If he's not going to resign, and he probably won't on his own behalf, well, that's when Colarco and company should kind of take the further step there, Jess. You know, that's really what should happen.
Well, I think that the charter does not provide for that type of action. Is the electorate and their confidence comes first. However, the presiding officer of the Democratic majority should immediately strip him of every committee position, should suspend him from all committee activities, memberships, and chairmanships. They should suspend him and strip him of attendance and membership, certainly the opiate task force, but all task forces. Right now, I think it's time for the legislature to allow the Suffolk County government, which is in the past been beleaguered by corruption and arrests and convictions over the last 8 years, that it's time for the Suffolk County government to take a breath, assess this, because this is something more personal. This is personal to families. This is personal where families are dealing with this type of battle, this type of addiction with spouses, with brothers, with sisters, with children. We've seen. There's not a family in Suffolk County that has not been touched in one capacity or another, friend, family, coworker, by this opiate epidemic. And I think it's important for the Democratic leadership to move forward and try to begin the process of restoring confidence in that system by suspending or stripping Doc Spencer of all of his committeemen's chairmanships, his membership, and those on a task force. And, what's unfortunate, and I know that there's been some discussion amongst some of our lawmakers on the Republican side, it's unfortunate that he's using a government vehicle to commit these illicit, illegal acts. And I think maybe it's time that we look at whether or not, elected officials and appointed officials in the county really deserve taxpayer, funded cars to take home and use at their discretion. I think that, we should really take a look at that process right now.
Indeed. And again, ladies and gentlemen, a lot of people say, well, it gets politicized. No, this is not a partisan thing of any kind. Okay, this is a bipartisan thing, actually. It's an individual who is a lawmaker in this county who has a lot on the line for the residents of this county. And that's a big job, and that's why you need some action here. And by the way, for those who don't know what we're talking about, because we're getting some texts and everything else coming in here, well, what are we talking about? Well, we're talking about William Spencer. He's a Suffolk County legislator, a physician. He has championed many an initiative in public health, served on the county's, as I told you before, the heroin and opiate epidemic advisory panel. Was arrested. What was it, Tuesday, he tried to swap pills, oxycodone, for sexual favors with a woman he thought was a sex worker, according to prosecutors. And, the thing is, ladies and gentlemen, this isn't just a one type of investigation regarding one specific department. It's many departments that have come together on this thing. And that's what makes this thing so real in nature. But Spencer will have his day in court. And he is due back in court at the end of February, so we shall see. Jess, let's move on. We've got the election. We've got 12 days. It is being amped up in a big way. On the national stage, you got a big debate happening, a final one between the president and his challenger. You got all kinds of stuff going on. I know you've been busy as could be. How are you feeling as you're 12 days out of a very big one here locally, too?
Like every election cycle, no matter whether or not no matter how good the polls look for us or how the polls look in general, in every election cycle, I am running scared, and the entire committee is running scared, and that's good. Not that we're scared that there may be something that happens bad at the polling place. We're scared because that's the best way to do, to keep energized, to keep the energy going. And these last 12 days, that's when we really, really need to go deep down, pull up all the last efforts and last bits of energy we need to close this deal, to close the message with the voters. And I could not be more proud of you know, our congressional candidates like Congressman Lee Zeldin, Assemblyman Andrew Carbarino in the 2nd District looking to replace Peter King, George Santos in the 3rd District, and all of our state Senate candidates and Assembly candidates, they have been working hard in very, very tumultuous conditions. COVID, you know, a mass media that's against Republicans is trying to shape narratives for the purposes of their own personal views. We have opinions now seeping into the news pages, and I could not be more proud of the members of our committee here in Suffolk County, where we are knocking on hundreds and thousands of doors every weekend, every day. We're making hundreds of thousands of phone calls. In fact, I just saw recently that, you know, Congressman Lee Zeldin, his team made their 1 millionth phone call to voters. We are going directly to the voters. We're going over the heads of the mass media. We're going to talk directly to the people who are going to, you know, fill in their bubbles on election day at the polling places or on absentee ballots. And we're going to make sure that we made our best case. We're not leaving anything on the table. No matter the challenges that Democratic governor or Democratic establishment are putting in front of us, whether it be like, you know, unchecked, unverified absentee ballot programs, or whether it's, you know, closures and prevention of gatherings and, you know, giving us warnings of second waves to try and scare the electorate, and now even being just bad Americans by trying to cast doubts over any vaccine that comes out from the CDC and the FDA, which is just disgusting in my point, because now you're playing with the lives of the American people. And that's just wrong. We're taking this message directly to the voters, and we're seeing the benefits of it. We're seeing the fact that a one-party control of Albany, which we warned about, Republicans warned the voters about in 2018, that was going to result in bad days for Long Island taxpayers, unfortunately came true. But now we're going to tell the truth about the Democratic senators like Jim Gorin, like Monica Martinez, and candidates who, you know, who subscribe and are financed by New York City de Blasio Democrats, like Laura Ahern. You know, these are the people who championed no bail, no jail, bail reform, you know, that allows 90% of our violent criminals out on the streets without serving less than an hour in jail, and then in many cases committing crimes yet again. We have $7.1 billion in new taxes. And you know what's worse for Suffolk taxpayers and Suffolk homeowners? These Democrats like Monica Martinez, Jim Gorin, and their allies like Laura Ahern, and they allowed an important tax relief program championed by Republicans in the state Senate and the Assembly, the STAR rebate check program, which gives each household about $700 a year in a tax rebate. They let that be eliminated, be canceled, and we're not getting it this year. So if homeowners are waiting for that check in the mail for STAR rebates this November or this December, it's not coming because of Monica Martinez and Jim Gorin.
That's tough.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, you're right. I mean, listen, in New York State has the moniker of the third worst tax climate for businesses in the United States. And by the way, folks, that's the third year in a row. I mean, only New Jersey and what was the other one? California is above that. But that's how bad it has been here as far as tax policy. I mean, New York is 48th out of 50 states because of high taxes. You're talking about personal income, property, and purchases. Hands down, it's not good. It really isn't. And
absolutely.
Jesse, a lot on the minds of voters. A lot on the minds of voters when they cast. That's something that will be at the top of the charts.
Absolutely. And that's why we've been communicating early, often, on all platforms to make sure the voters know. I mean, it's amazing that elected officials like Monica Martinez and Jim Gorin, they have the blood on their hands of those criminals that were released on no bail, no jail, and went out and committed another crime. In many cases, we just identified a person who was on bail multiple times, served no time in jail, had no bail, and ended up dying committing murders in Bellport. We had a DWI situation from someone just released from jail. This is the blood on their hands. They have Monica Martinez, Jim Gorin, and the people like Laura Ahern want to handcuff the cops and judges and release scot free. Give him no jail free card, a free jail card to criminals.
Yeah, William Farnham is the guy of Elport. I mean, that's a prime example. What Jesse was talking about. And listen, there were others. You know, the Jordan Randolphs on the William Floyd killing Jonathan Maldonado, going 90 miles an hour drunk, in and out of prison. Tiffany Harris, the anti-Semitic attacks. You know, we cite the examples all the time. But, you know, it's interesting when I hear, like, a Senator Mike Gennaris out of Queens, one of the backers of this bill originally, you know, say, hey, you know what? Give it time. Really? What time do we need? How many more deaths do you need, you know? I think people really understand this right now. You know, it's not about and one of the more important points, I say this over and over again, I'm blue in the face, is, you know, keeping these individuals incarcerated is a good thing. They're getting help. They're getting the mental rehabilitation that they need. OK, so by throwing them out on the street again because of these flimsy laws, guess what? Guess who's in danger here? The public. Okay, without that mental rehab that they would normally get. They're not getting it now. And that's something that a lot of people don't realize when it comes to this stuff. You know, that's very important. You know, you're letting these guys and gals out on the street, and they're not of mental state of where you need to be in society. That's one of the big problems right now. A lot of people forget that.
I agree.
You know?
Absolutely. And it's Democrats like Gennaris from New York City, Monica Martinez, Jim Gorin, they say give it more time. As they're saying give it more time, the body count goes up here on law-abiding citizens here in Suffolk County and throughout the state of New York. That's got to stop. And I will tell you that it's going to stop when Republicans re-elect Phil Boyle in the 4th District, they elect Alexis Wyke in the 3rd District, they elect Mario Matera in the 2nd District, they elect Ed Smith in the 5th District, and of course we keep Ken LaValle's seat by electing Assemblyman Anthony Palumbo in the 1st District. If we want to make a difference, if voters want to make a difference in their lives, if they want to end your assault on cops and the get out of jail free cards for criminals, vote for the Republican state senators and our assemblymen. Let's change our state government on November 3rd. Let's change our state government beginning on Saturday, October 24th, when early voting begins and voters can go in person with COVID conditions all in place to make it safe and healthy. Let them go to their early voting places, and you can get those lists of polling places at suffolkcountygop.com. Go there, vote early. Let's send a message to the radical Democrats financed by New York City that we have had enough. We are going to change the direction of our state, and we're going to do it by the most God-given right we have, our vote, your vote.
Flip some seats in the Senate, 40-23 in favor of the Dems, the Assembly, 106-42. So very important for folks to make sure. And again, I implore people to... and it's the same thing, but even more so this year because it really is the most important election, to figure out if you're better off now than you were 2, 3, 4 years ago. That's a very important question. Jesse Garcia with us, GOP chair. You know, I had Lee Zeldin on just, about a week and a half ago. And he said something interesting to me. You know, it's like he feels every election because, you know, listen, we've been following Lee since he was in a state Senate seat. We know what happened with Tim Bishop. Unseating him after 6 terms, and just going down the line, you know, of all the times we followed him, George Stamos and the Ann Hulse over in Southampton, you know, it's just been a battle. And he always says that he feels he's 10 points behind. And that's why he works very hard, no matter what the circumstances are. This year, though, somehow the president goes down in 12 days. Does that, in your mind, put everyone else in jeopardy attached to the party? Or is it pretty much on an individual basis, do you feel? Do you feel once the top dog goes down, well, there go the dominoes? What's your feeling overall?
Well, the reality is in every election, the national pressure down on the ballot is significant. And this year, it's been a roller coaster for this election cycle. It's been a never-ending election cycle since almost 2015, when President Trump announces his desire to seek the presidency. So, yes, is there an impact down ballot on by the national races? Absolutely, there is. But we take that into account. And let me speak specifically to Lee Zeldin. While there is down pressure or up pressure in some cases from the national ballot, an individual or a public servant like Lee Zeldin is different. It's different because Lee Zeldin has a significant record of accomplishments in all sectors of his district. While he's gone down to Albany, he's gone down to Washington and not forgotten his roots. This is a gentleman who served our country, served in the state Senate, and now serves in the Congress and continues to serve as an Army reservist. And he has never lost sight of the people of Suffolk County. That's his first, and he wakes up in the morning thinking about them. He goes to bed at night thinking about them. I mean, this is an individual who comes from a middle-class community, went to public school, William Floyd Schools, still raises his family there. His opponent, Nancy Garoff, a radical professor from the radical left, she's part of the 1%. She's so part of the 1% that she had to hide $25 million in assets from her financial disclosure statement. She touts herself as being a scientist and being able to have a plan to deal with this pandemic. She's demonstrated nothing. But what has Lee Zeldin done? Lee Zeldin, who has been regarded as the 12th most bipartisan member of Congress out of 435, he reached across the aisle. When Suffolk County needed PPEs, he got over a million pieces of PPEs for our frontline workers, our healthcare workers, our law enforcement. When Suffolk County was suffering with COVID expenses, Lee Zeldin was the one who championed and got this county $280 million out of the CARES Act that was approved by the federal government. $280 million. Nancy Garoff hasn't done anything, hasn't even said anything about a plan. When there were problems with the needed clarification in the CARES Act, he got the Democratic administration here in Suffolk County on the phone with the Secretary of Treasury from the Republican presidential administration, and they worked it out. That, for me, demonstrates what Lee Zeldin is all about. Lee Zeldin is about solutions and service to our communities. It doesn't matter what political stripe you are. He is going to defend you. He's going to advocate for you. He's going to deliver for you, no matter what, because that's his job. That's what's ingrained in his heart and his soul. And that's why we are a better community, a better congressional district, and a better region with Lee Zeldin being reelected to Congress, and why he will be, despite what happens on the national level with the president.
You just did my job because one of the things we do on this program is we tell the truth. You know, we give you the facts, okay? That's what we do. We deal with facts. And the fact is, and I say this to Steve Ballone when he's on and he agrees. Ballone agrees. I mean, if it were for Lee Zeldin, folks, I don't even know where the county would be. Because, you know, the thing that really gets me is they knock him because of his alignment with the president. Well, guess what? That kind of helped, don't you think? You don't think if he was aligned properly with a Steve Mnuchin, Treasury Secretary, if he wasn't aligned properly maybe with a Jared Kushner? Listen, they got dollars here. We would not have gotten those dollars if it weren't for the Zeldin relationships in Washington. That's a fact, okay? So when I hear these commercials, it drives me crazy because you're not dealing with facts with a lot of this stuff, okay? Now, if you want to take it a step further, you know, you can get ugly too. I could tell you that there is, you know, the depiction of Nancy Garoff holding a sign to funding police. Fact. She would want to take those dollars and put it in other areas. Fact. Way back. Okay, way back. Did a bit of a reversal here. A lot of people reverse things when it's coming to an election. But those are facts that you have to deal with, okay? So when I hear that stuff about Zeldin, that drives me crazy because so many untruths are being told, and we got to set the record straight, you know? And that's what you need to know here. So,
well, I think that you said it right there. And I think what's important is that, you know, we talk about this radical professor, Nancy Garoff, who's financed by herself, financed by a hedge fund, you know, by all of these socialistic funding groups like from Bernie Sanders and such. But here's it. She touts herself as a scientist. Yet it was Lee Zeldin, a soldier, delivered $2 billion to the Brookhaven National Lab. That is hundreds of jobs, hundreds of investment in the Long Island, New York region. That's what we need here. We need people who doesn't matter, who doesn't look at political stripes. If you have to work with members of the Democratic U.S. Senate to get something done, you do that. If you use relationships to move the levers of authority to deliver for your residents, that's what we elect them to do. We elect them to work with the president. We elect them to work with other members of the House of Representatives, no matter their political persuasion. We elect them to work with the U.S. Senate. Two senators there are Democrats from New York, one being the minority leader in the U.S. Senate. We elect Lee Zeldin to work with these people to deliver for Suffolk County. He's been doing the job. He's going to continue to do the job, and no matter what type of lies they tell. Because, you know, Lee Zeldin to you what our mantra is. We run every race like we're 10 points back. But the other fact of the matter is, when you lie about us, we're going to tell the truth about you.
Well, Jesse, it'll be interesting. 12 days. Early voting, by the way, folks, is this Saturday. There is no excuse. Okay, you got 9 days prior and everything else. Go out there and vote. There's a million locations in and around. Just go online, figure it out. There is no excuse. Jesse, we'll check in with you before the big day. Can't thank you enough for a couple here this morning.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Got it. Jesse Garcia, the chair of the Republican Party, a lot on the line. Suffolk County, a lot on the line, folks.